Well, our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, and then continuing with verses 14 to 17. So we are always of good courage, for we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. For the love of Christ controls us, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the word of the Lord. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There's a story of a hillbilly family, a mother, a father, and their son who went for the first time to the big city. And they arrived at this big office building, and the mother went to do some business, and the father and the son stayed in the lobby, and they were just in awe of this huge, huge space and looking at all of the people. And they noticed that this old elderly woman with a cane hobbling across, and she went into this little room and the door closed. And after a few minutes, there was a ding and the door opened and this beautiful woman stepped out and began to walk across the lobby. And the father, without taking his eyes off that woman, tapped his son on the shoulder and said, "Boy, go get your mother." The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You know, we like new things, don't we? We like change when it's good, when it's fun, when it's everything is new. There was a program on TV a number of years ago called Extreme Makeover. Now, there seems to be all kinds of makeovers now. This seems to be the thing now for women, and where they get a new hairstyle or they get new clothes and they present themselves as a new person. And, of course, it's a superficial change, but still, some of those women say that it makes a change in their how they feel about themselves, their self-esteem, how they hold themselves, how they conduct themselves. In the program Extreme Makeover, which I think was about 10 years ago, they went even further. They had doctors who did plastic surgery, and they underwent major transformations. And, of course, their families were not allowed to see the incremental changes that took place. But at the end of that time, the ladies were brought into on the television show and presented to their family, and sometimes the families didn't even recognize them. They had changed so much. The extreme makeover, becoming a new person. Something I think we all look to do, to be a new person. Now, the extreme makeover is kind of a superficial thing. It's all about physical, how the physical looks. And the way we look and the way we feel about ourselves is important, but it's not really a transformative change. Now, I want to tell you about the caterpillar. I have here a little caterpillar. Now, I could have made him more realistic looking, but that would have made him pretty. I like the cute caterpillar. You know, how many of you remember caterpillars from your youth? You know, you don't see caterpillars around here much, but back east, boy, you saw the caterpillars all the time. One little boy described a caterpillar as a worm wearing a fur coat. And little boys love to get those caterpillars and chase girls with them, and the girls would run away screaming. Oh, there were so many uses for caterpillars. The caterpillars actually don't do much at all except eat. They're not really beneficial to the environment. They don't really do anything. They're very self-centered, self-absorbed, only concerned about themselves. And lo and behold, at some point, God's preordained time, the caterpillar begins to spin a web, a cocoon, and becomes enclosed in a cocoon. And then, again, at a preordained time, God brings forth a beautiful butterfly. The butterfly. Now, the butterfly has been used as a Christian symbol for ages. It's been a symbol of the resurrection, of the new life, of Christ being raised from the dead, being brought forth. That transformation, that metamorphosis of caterpillar through the cocoon and that chrysalis stage and finally emerging as a butterfly has been we see that as kind of a metaphor for the resurrection of Christ, going through the death and then the resurrection. But it's also a metaphor, I think, for the Christian life. There's a story of a... Well, let me go back here and get my little worm here. I want to tell you a story about a little caterpillar. Caterpillar was named Preston. Preston the caterpillar. I guess I could have picked something more alliterative, like Charlie or Chuck or Cecil. But anyway, I went with Preston. Because Preston was a very wealthy, very cultured, Ivy League schooled caterpillar. And because he was wealthy, he pretty much had everything he could want. He lived his life having everything he could want. He had a trust fund. He was successful. He spent his time, and he was very smart. I mean, Ivy League schooled. He was very smart, but he used his brains to work on his investments, to grow his investments. And so he continued on and on through his life. He dated other caterpillars. Yes, he did. But he never married, because he never felt that he loved someone. In fact, he felt like he had never really experienced love. He had never experienced love from his parents because they were jet setters and they were always out and doing things. And so he had been raised by hired help. And when he finally was of age and he received his trust fund, he went off on his own and he became a very successful caterpillar. He had never given any thought about God. It wasn't that he didn't believe in God. He just never gave any thought about God. The idea of going to church was as alien to him as going to a foreign country or a foreign culture. He couldn't conceive of such a thing. He didn't know anyone that went to church. But Preston the caterpillar realized at some point in his life that he was lost. He realized that he had an emptiness in him that nothing could fill. And he had tried everything. He could not fill this emptiness that he had inside him. There was a hole in him. And he did not know how to fill it. Well, he thought, well, maybe this is one of those things they call a midlife crisis. He had friends who had gone through midlife crisis, and he knew what they had done. They had changed careers. They had taken up skydiving. They had gotten divorces. Some of them had bought a new car. He was, I, He said, I could buy a new car, but I already have three. I don't need any more cars. He didn't know what he could do. Now, in some stories, this is where Preston the Caterpillar would decide to drive into the inner city, and he would begin serving meals at a homeless shelter, and God would speak to him, and his life would be turned around. This is not that story. Preston, one Sunday morning, went to the country club to play golf with his friends. Now, you can all relate to that. Went to play golf on a Sunday morning. And as he was driving to the country club, he noticed a church, a large church, on the side of the road. Now, Preston had been on this road and traveled this road to the country club for many, many years. And he never remembered a church being there. In fact, if you had asked him, Preston, on your way to the country club, do you ever see a church? He would have said, nope, no churches out there. Never saw a church. But today, he saw a church. Now, he wondered how that church could have sprung up overnight. But apparently it did. And there was a large church and it was full of cars. And he found himself pulling into the driveway and into the parking lot and finding a spot to park. And he sat in his car for a while and wondering, why am I here and what should I do now? Well, he got out of the car. He went into the church and a gentleman there gave him a program and he explained to him that the worship service had already begun, but he was welcome to go in and sit in the back, and so he did. He went in and he sat in the back and he looked around and he was surprised at how many people were in the church. It was full, and there could have been 400 or 500 or 600 people in this church. And he was amazed. Where did all these people come from? And he noticed a man on the stage and figured he must be the preacher. He was talking, and behind him there was a large screen, and pictures were being shown. But Preston wasn't listening to what the man was saying. It wasn't what the man was saying that moved Preston. It's what he felt. And what he felt was peace. It felt like this was where he needed to be. Well, I'm going to continue to wrap this story up right now. Preston went back to that church the next Sunday, and he went back again and again and began to be a part of the life of that church. And he joined some of the men. Now, Preston had never held a hammer in his life, but he found himself with some other men working on a project to build a home for a poor family. And he found himself serving meals at that homeless shelter downtown. And he found himself reading the Bible and beginning to understand what this was all about. And then something happened. The Holy Spirit began to wrap itself around him. I guess we could call it a cocoon. And at God's time, there came a time when Preston accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And he was baptized. And when he came out of the water, he was a butterfly. He was a butterfly. He was ready to be used by God. He was ready to fly to new heights to fulfill all that God would have him be and do. A butterfly. From caterpillar to butterfly. Metamorphosis. A spiritual rebirth. And that's what it really is all about. When Paul talks about becoming a new creation, he's talking about a spiritual birth. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus in the garden, he said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must have a spiritual birth. When Paul says that we are a new creation, he's telling us that God is going to do something in our lives that only God can do. We cannot recreate ourselves. We can make New Year's resolutions. We can aspire to be better Christians. We can aspire to be better people. But we can't create that metamorphosis, a spiritual metamorphosis that takes place in a new believer when God recreates us. God is a creator God. He created the universe. God, out of nothingness, out of the darkness, created light and life. In some ways, it's even harder for God to create a new being, a new creation like us, because the darkness doesn't resist. Sometimes we do. So God is a creator who works in us to bring about a spiritual metamorphosis, something we cannot do for ourselves. Only God can do that. And when God does that, we find that the old has passed away. What has passed away? Our old selves, our old nature, our old way of thinking and being. What has passed away is a love that was self-centered, self-righteous, self-promoting, self-sufficient. And instead, our love is changed into something new. Our love is changed into a new awareness of God and God's creation. It changed into a new sense of loving people. Our relationships with our friends and family grows and changes with this new kind of love. Our compassion that we feel even now extends to our enemies, and we find that we're even able to love those that we would have found unlovable before. We find that our lives are changed in dramatic ways. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, but it's more than that, it's by a renewing of your heart and your whole soul and your whole self. It's a spiritual rebirth. That's what happens when the caterpillar goes through that chrysalis period and comes out as a butterfly. It's not just a new kind of caterpillar. It's a new creation, something beautiful that God is able to wrought, to create. And that can happen with all of us. Now, you might think, well, what about the butterfly? Is a butterfly still this perfect thing? Well, you know, butterflies still sin. Butterflies still sin because none of us are sinless or perfect. We're according to John Wesley, we are going towards perfection. The Holy Spirit working within us to sanctify us, making us more and more like Christ, less and less apt or willing or wanting to sin. When we do sin, it's not because we willfully sin, but rather we sin almost in spite of ourselves. We hate sin even though we still sin. And we know that we are forgiven when we come to God. That's the new life. That's the new creation. That's what God offers us. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you may be asking, well, how do I become a new creation? Look into your hearts. Are you a caterpillar? Do you want to become a butterfly? How does that happen? Where does the transformation take place? It takes place in prayer. It takes place when we give our lives and our everything to God through Jesus Christ. Some of us are caterpillars. Some of us have been going to church for a long time, but we've never taken that last step to give ourselves to Christ, to become the butterfly that God wants all of us to become. Let us pray that God would reach into our hearts, draw us to Him in a new and powerful way, that we might shed that caterpillar, that cocoon, and emerge as a butterfly. Would you pray with me? God, we are lost in our sin. God, we pray that you would reach out and you would touch our hearts. You would touch our lives in a new and powerful way. God, we pray that you would create in us a new spirit, that you would create in us a new birth, a new creation, as Paul describes it. That what is old can pass away, our sins, all those things that have held us back, that you can discard all of that for us and you can create in us a new life, a new hope, a new beginning, a new creation. God, we give ourselves to you. We offer ourselves to you and pray that you would come into us. We accept that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We believe with all of our heart that he is the one who brings salvation and eternal life. Grant us, God, your grace, your peace. Make us a new creation through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.